Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Danny Cannell. Back to throw. First down. The pass is deep. It's tight end.
And Raja Bell.
Bell has got three fingers. 22 to Raja.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Raja Bell. Happy Friday. We have a jam-packed show for you today. We're going to break down the NBA. So you come for the NBA breakdown, but you know what you stay for? You stay for the five-star Q&A, because we do it every Friday. We do it at the end of the podcast. And I did cheat a little bit, and I checked some of these. This is one of the best five-star Q&As we've had in the history of this podcast.
Really?
What?
Yeah. So there are some really good questions this time. Hannah, there's even some dating questions that you might have to get involved in.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, we're going to have to break that down. Monday is Memorial Day. We are not going to be live. We're going to have a best of episode. It's going to be a best of five-star Q&A, so we'll have that on Monday. And depending on how these series break down, we might have a bonus episode on Tuesday, too. So make sure you check those out as well. Thanks, as always, for following us. Raja, we have a series on our hands as the Rockets beat the Warriors last night, 98-94, baby, and I love it.
Listen, the Rockets are good.
This Go ahead and tell us you told yourself.
Newsflash.
Go ahead and say it.
No, I'm not going to do that. Here's where I thought this could go sideways for Golden State. It is much easier, and at the risk of being redundant, it's much easier to get people to play ISO ball with you than it is to have them stick to their game plan when they have good ISO players, if that makes sense. Because Kevin Durant naturally wants to go ISO. He's one of the best ISO players in the world. It's what you grow up doing when you play one-on-one or when you play two-on-two. Or, quite frankly, when you ever see a pickup game in the summertime, it's just a glorified ISO game. So it's naturally what basketball players will do if you give them the opportunity to do that. And you've got Kevin Durant, who's really good at it. You got Steph Curry, who's really good at it. And then you have a team in Houston that's literally all they do. It's all they do. So it's easy to bait teams into playing with you that way. And Golden State is good enough to beat 99.9% of NBA teams out there doing it. They happen to be playing the one team that may be better at it with them because they have James Harden. Albeit he has not been very good, 0-for-20 in his last two games in terms of threes. He wasn't great last night. Chris Paul is really, really good at it. And then the wild card is Eric Gordon, who's a really, really good one-on-one ISO player as well. And so and what it does for Golden State is, again, and I alluded to it last time we were on the pod, they got Klay Thompson cooking a little bit. Second quarter, rolling into the third quarter. What do you have? I think he had 21 to finish the game. 23, and then they just stopped. Then it went ISO again. They were running sets. The ball was moving. People were moving. There were backdoor cuts. When you've got to account for Klay Thompson coming off of a screen, it frees up a lot of stuff behind Klay Thompson, even if he's not open. And they stopped doing it, and they became very predictable. There were five sets of eyes on Kevin Durant at all times. He struggled down the stretch. And when that happens and you're an ISO ball, you can lose a game. And here's the catch, Danny, and I don't mean to get long-winded with this, but again, Houston didn't play well. They struggled offensively.
They played awful.
They played awful, and they still found a way to beat the team that a lot of us regard as the best team in basketball over the last 5 years.
So I thought it was an ugly game. I thought both teams played pretty bad, which I think is the good news if you're the Warriors, because you still had a chance in a late-game situation to potentially win the game,
but it's close
or send it overtime.
It's good news for Golden State as well. I mean, for Houston
right.
as well.
Right, because they played awful and they found a way to win with their C game from, take a page from Tiger Woods' playbook. So I am rooting for the Rockets, even though it would make me look really wrong about the Warriors, because you know what? The Warriors kind of ticked me off this whole season, and I'm mad at myself for not being more aware of the entirety of the situation, because when I say that, when I watch college football – when I saw Florida State the year after they won the national championship and they still got back to the playoff and it was the year they lost to Oregon, they played awful that season. And they went and they kind of puttered around and they had a bunch of turnovers and they played bad and yet they still found ways to win. And it was that conversation of, oh, they have to just flip the switch. Once they flip the switch, they'll be fine. Ohio State, a couple of years later, when they came back and they had the quarterback controversy and they had all this talent, you're looking at them, you're like, all right, they'll be fine. They're going to flip the switch. it's really tough to do that. You have to be prepping constantly, nonstop. The more you go, like, you have to be getting ready for these moments like you're seeing. And the Warriors did that all season. They were so nonchalant. They were so not into it. They didn't care if home court mattered. They were like, we'll be fine. We're this super team. It doesn't matter. And here they are where they look completely out of sync. They look out of sorts. And I thought it was more than obvious than any other situation was late in the game when they had this late possession and you saw it just get completely bungled. They didn't sound like they had a plan. You know, Steve Kerr said he thought they would foul Steph Curry. You can't anticipate that in that situation. It just looked totally out of sorts. What did you see, Rajah, when you saw that like late game situation just breaking down completely?
Well, I agree with you 100%. Like, Durant 0-for-4 in the fourth quarter, Steph Curry 3-for-6 in the fourth quarter. All of that speaks to the lack of flow offensively and the lack of sticking to your game plan and what you want to do offensively. In terms of what happened with the timeout, that's inexcusable. That's a lack of concentration. Like, every NBA player who's played four seasons or more knows that as soon as you get that rebound off of the free throw, it's an immediate timeout. There's no pass. There's no dribbles. Like, that is an inexcusable lapse in concentration. That cost you 4 seconds of ball advancement. You could have been running a set in the half court. The Draymond situation on the fumbled ball, I don't really have a beef with that. I mean, he took his eye off the ball. That happens. You know, and I heard last night people debating, like, the Quinn Cook shot. They're down 2, I believe. He's wide open. My question is, look, the guy shoots 44% from the three-point line. Like, what do you want him to do? Like, you got to shoot that shot. I've been Quinn Cook. I'm shooting that ball. I want it. I want to prove to everybody why I'm on the court at this time. The only other thing he could have done and saved his NBA future was to make a hard drive to the rim and hope that either the Red Seas were going to part and he'd get a layup, or he'd then be able to kick it to Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant. Because if he just sits there and freezes and doesn't shoot the ball, I mean, the jury is in on the rest of his career. He's not an NBA-quality player. So I had no problem with that shot. But down the stretch, I agree with you, Danny. Like, this team is not sticking to the game plan. And again, through 82 regular season games, it's okay. You can have a little falter in what you want to do, you know, offensively, defensively. You can do things without a purpose. You can get away from who you are and still figure out ways to win games. But this late in the season, you have to be all the way dialed in. And yep. I am with you. That's not something that you can just turn on. Sometimes you can, but you're playing with fire if you think that you're always going to be able to flip that switch and be razor sharp. And they certainly weren't razor sharp down the stretch. It looked like, you know, offensively, again, no real game plan. Just Mike D'Antoni was a guy who didn't want to put too much restriction or too much framework in the offense at times, because mm-hmm. he didn't want you to be a slave to the framework of the offense. He wanted you to have some freedom to what you do. And so I subscribe to that. Like, I subscribe to guys, you know, kind of playing and being unpredictable offensively. But down the stretch, there's got to be a clear plan. Yeah, Debo and I can't be on different pages when we've got one possession left and there are 8 seconds. You and I must know what our jobs are in that scenario, and it didn't look like they did.
So they look completely out of sorts. Listen, they still managed to put a pretty positive spin on it. Here's some of the Warriors talking about the game.
They made a couple more plays to get the job done, so credit to them. But that's why you play 7 games. That's why it's such a back-and-forth type of environment in the playoffs. And we have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves at home, get a big win, keep ourselves alive, and then roll the dice in a game 7. So not all is lost, and we played well tonight, just not well enough.
No, you didn't.
I feel great about where we are right now, and that may sound crazy.
Yes, it does.
I feel it. I know exactly what I'm seeing out there, and we defended them beautifully tonight. We got everything we needed. Just too many turnovers, too many reaches. And if we settle down a little bit, we're going to be in really good shape.
Still confident. You know, we had some opportunities to win this game, last 2 games, and we didn't close it out. But we can learn from it. And, you know, we got another opportunity at home on Saturday. And we'll be ready to play.
I felt like Kevin Durant was the most in touch with reality there.
Yeah.
you know, and Steve Kerr, I guess your job, part of your job is to put the right spin on that so guys feel good and are confident. And they shouldn't be discouraged. I mean, they get to go home and play a game where it's they've lost one game. I think, what are they, 16-1 or something like that? So they shouldn't be discouraged. But you didn't defend Houston great. Make no mistakes. Like, well, there were times that they'd played all right, but Houston just missed a bunch of threes. Like, Houston, what were the Rockets? 13 for 43 from the three-point line.
And they shot just 30% on uncontested shots.
Right. I would argue that of those 43 threes, they're probably 32 of them were pretty wide open jump shots. They just missed them. So I don't buy that you defended them great. I do think that there were opportunities there for Golden State, and they were a little sloppy, and they missed shots themselves. But I wouldn't be so quick to say that we're in a great place, because I feel like you've devolved. And it was interesting because I saw something on WorldStar this morning.
There's a,
but this was interesting because it was a conversation between Steve Kerr and Kevin Durant about MJ, right? And what MJ would do in terms of trusting his teammates. And that gave me a little like glimpse into like the mind of the way Steve Kerr sees Kevin Durant right now. And it's interesting because, you know, Kevin Durant, you would think, has the green light to go out there and do what he's doing, because it looks like at times his teammates are deferring to him a little bit, like the game plan is. But from what Steve Kerr is saying to him, it's clear that Kevin Durant is just kind of going off script a little bit with some of this ISO. And for me, that's concerning, because it's what I worried about, which was ISO players reverting to trying to play ISO against Houston. It's a recipe for disaster.
I love how you said you found that on WorldStar, because it was everywhere on Twitter. Like, yeah. I think inside the NBA, like TNT, like every website had it, but you saw it on WorldStar.
I saw it on WorldStar this morning.
That's Raj's news. He doesn't have Twitter, but he has WorldStar.
Exactly. That's fantastic. I love the old MJ stories, but you know what I'd love even more is if Kevin Durant actually listened to him, because he talked about trusting his teammates. Do you know how many assists Kevin Durant had last night?
Probably not many.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. So how does that? How is that trusting your teammates? I am with you. I think Steve Kerr is a very even-keeled coach. I think he relates to players extremely well because he's been in those situations. He's been in the finals. He's played with Michael Jordan, so he can really relate to those. But I thought it did. Like, I wish his players would listen to him a little bit more. And I think it's been an extremely frustrating season for Steve Kerr. And I'm actually surprised. Like, I wish he would have said, you know what? We're getting what we deserve. Because we coasted. We went through the motions all season long. And here we are. This is where, you know, this is why we're in this position. He can't say that, but I wonder if deep down inside he's feeling that. Let me ask you this, though, Raja.
Yeah.
Because the Warriors look completely different than what you've seen all season long.
Well,
and I'm not talking about the turnovers, because they're always sloppy with the ball. Like, so I get that. But they're averaging 79 less passes per game than the last round against the Pelicans. And if you watch them at all during the regular season, it's the same thing. It looks to me like they're kind of playing against the Rockets. They're watching what they do, and they're almost falling victim to trying to do what the Rockets are doing instead of sticking to their own game. Like, is there anything they're doing? Are the Rockets doing anything defensively that are taking the Warriors out of their game, or are they just like playing differently because they're playing against the Rockets?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we didn't talk about the absence of Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala is a very, very good player. He was the Finals MVP of the year that I was with the Cavs in the front office, and they beat us in the finals. So, like, not giving you, I want to give some credit to Andre Iguodala. They're not going to be the same team without him. He does a lot for them defensively. He covers up a lot of mistakes. He's one of the best defenders in the league. And offensively, he might not be a knockdown shooter, but he's a very good playmaker. And you subtract a guy who can playmake from that, and where you could maybe beat Houston with Andre Iguodala in the lineup going ISO, it becomes really hard to beat him when you've just got Steph and Kevin Durant. And to your point, I read a stat, and I don't remember what it was, but there's a certain number of passes that Golden State likes to be at. And they feel like if they watch game film, regardless of shots going in or field goal percentage defense, if they hit this number of passes as a team, they have a very, very, very high likelihood of winning the game.
This series, they're passing the ball 79 less times per game
right.
than their series against the Pelicans. I don't know that exact number, but 79 less per
correct.
Game.
So it's exponentially lower. And the reason why, it's twofold. A, Houston is giving you something to look at every time down the court, which is ISO. And it's like a wild horse, man. A horse wants to run. If you don't have like hella restraint and you're not super disciplined in terms of what you want to do offensively, it's going to be easy for the Kevin Durants and the Steph Currys of the world to fall into trying to play park basketball, if you will, which is one-on-one. The other thing Houston is doing is they're just switching everything. Everything is a switch. So, you know, where you might be creating offense out of screens and slips and so on and so forth, Houston is doing a great job of just switching everything. Which, so every time you screen, somebody's standing there, which kind of promotes and makes you have to kind of go one-on-one, because every time you set a screen, there's going to be somebody in front of you. Now you got to just go make a play. And sometimes it's a lesser defender. And look, NBA guys, if they're anything, they are self-confident in their ability to go get a bucket. So if I get a switch and I have an inferior defender on me, well, Danny, guess what I'm going to do to him? I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to go into my dance routine with the ball, and I'm going to try to get a good shot. Mike D'Antoni don't care if that shot goes in or not, because, again, you're playing right into his hands, which is devolving the game into an ISO situation, less passing for Golden State. They can't reach the number offensively in terms of passes or shot attempts, and it's just a downhill, like it's a snowball rolling downhill at that point.
So the Warriors have had to play without Iguodala. Now all of a sudden it looks like the Rockets could potentially have an injury situation with Chris Paul. He had to leave the game for the final minutes, his hamstring issue. If he doesn't play, is it a wrap? Like, would I go back to being right then?
Yeah.
Because it looked like he's that important to them. And it's kind of crazy that James Harden's going to be the MVP, but it's very clear that Chris Paul, to me, when I watch them play, is more important to them than James Harden. Like, he's really like their lifeblood. Everything kind of flows through him.
He's their heart. You know, like, James Harden, for as great as he's been, like, the beard's fantastic, and I would have voted for him for MVP this year. But he's having the same sort of struggles in the playoffs that he's had, you know, when push comes to shove, when the lights get the brightest. I mean, he's not been there. He's 5 for 21 from the field last night. 0 for 11 threes. When was the last time you heard of a superstar? Like, superstar, he's a mega star. When was the last time you heard for an MVP candidate going 0 for 20 in two games, threes in the Western Conference Finals? It's unheard of. It's unfathomable.
And they win.
And they win. Like, that's the only thing that's saving him. But who saved? Chris Paul's saving him. He had 18 points, 18 of his 20 in the second half yesterday. Some of the threes that he hit were unreal. Just Mike D'Antoni said it best in post-game press conference. They're just all heart shots. It's not skill. Like, I mean, clearly he's super skilled, but it was all heart. And if he is not there, it is catastrophic. James Harden could play out of his mind in Golden State. And if Chris Paul's not there, they're going to lose, and they're going to lose game 7. So hopefully for Houston and all of its fans, it's a tweak and it's not a tear or a strain. Because if he's not there, they will not win.
Do you like the shimmy?
Let me ask.
I love the shimmy. I love the shimmy.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
And I love Steph's response to it.
Yeah. Hey, if you're going to shimmy, I'm going to get shimmied on.
That's
He's got to be okay with that. Let me ask something about Chris Paul, because you have a much better grasp. You've played against a lot of these guys. I have a perception of Chris Paul that he's tough, that, you know, he played through the ankle injury. I think he'll be back. He's going to be reevaluated today. He said he'll be all right. Am I right on him that he looks like a tough player, a guy that'll play through pain, that'll, you know, is not a prima donna, that's, you know, some of these players now, they get a little tweak, they're going to take off. Like, am I right on my read on Chris Paul?
Yes, you're absolutely right. He's one of the toughest players in the NBA. He is he's one of my favorites because he's a get down, get dirty. Like, if he needs to give you a shot to the ribs, he'll give you a shot to the ribs. Like, he's unapologetic about the way he plays. And yeah, so you are right. It's a fine line, though. I think he should play if he's 80% or above. I think they should have him on the court.
Yeah.
If he's in the 70 range, and this is really hard because the training staff can't feel the injury. There's no instrument.
There's no MRI you can take to say here is 70%. You can't do that. You have to trust the player.
Correct. Because then you're risking re-injury or further injuring it, and then he's not available for game 7. But if he's 80 or above, as tough as he is, I'd roll him out there and see if we could get something done in Oracle. Because I know this sounds crazy, and this is not going to be what people want to hear, but I think if you get James Harden cooking in Oracle, he's the one type of cat that if you get him cooking and you get a decent enough game from Chris Paul and Eric Gordon and one other person, you could beat them in Oracle. You have not played well offensively yet.
Yep, no doubt. All right, so that series, the Warriors, they go back to Oracle. They're actually a 10.5-point favorite, which is kind of nuts when you think about a Western Conference Finals game on the line. Like, their back's against the wall. They're a 10-point favorite, so that'll be fun to watch. All right, let's move it over to the Eastern Conference, because the Celtics, no surprise, they win at home, take advantage of this series. They take advantage of that home court. the Cavs, and you called it. You said LeBron on short rest is not as good, especially when they have to travel. I thought he looked gassed. But what do you think that'll change? Like with him going back to Cleveland, getting a little bit more rest, sleeping in his own bed, is that what they need to extend the series? Or do you think this is potentially the last time we see LeBron in the Cavs uniform?
Hey, that's a great question. Here, this is LeBron's stats in wins versus losses. All right, he's 35.5 points a game in wins, 27.5 in losses. This is the one that sticks out to me. These two next stats: 62.5% field goal in wins, 47% in losses, 57.1% from the 3-point line in wins, and 27.3% from 3-point line in losses. So he is way more efficient in the wins, and a lot of that is a lot of that has to do with how he feels, I would imagine, physically, and what he settles for, the threes that he gets. When he's tired, he settles for terrible, you know, look, he's the best player on the planet, but for anyone else, they'd be a terrible shot. Like, it's like a fadeaway three because I'm too tired to do anything else, and I forgive him that because he's got to do so much heavy lifting for them, but make no mistake, they're bad shots. But when he's feeling good, he doesn't settle. He puts his head down. He gets to the rim. He creates something for himself or someone else. That's the LeBron that they're going to need to have in game six at home. I do believe that being at home, having all of your technological advancements in terms of your training staff and, yep, and your facility, having all of those at your disposal are going to be huge. When you're on the road, Danny, I mean, essentially you have the hotel pool and you have your training room and whatever little weight room is at the Four Seasons in Boston. That's what you have to get your body ready. I mean, you could go ahead and farm out like a medical facility in Boston and stuff like that. But when you're at home, you have everything that your world-class facility has to offer you in terms of being able to recover and get your body right. And I think it'll pay dividends for him. The question is, and what it's always been this whole series, is will he get the support from his supporting cast? Will Jordan Clarkson show up? Will he get something out of Larry Nance Jr. and Tristan Thompson? Can Kevin Love give me more than 14 points and act like he's one of the, you know, an all-star player? Is Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith, are they both going to hit shots? Because he needs that. Boston is not coming into Cleveland with that game three mentality where they're scared to be on the road. They are coming in to close this series out. They're confident. They're rolling. They know that you cannot guard them. So I'm not even hanging my hat on that if I'm Cleveland. I'm not worried about guarding people. We need to be better offensively.
So one of the interesting things was Kyle Korver played a series low 19 minutes. He only had 7 points. He was 2-for-5 from the three-point range. But I thought what was more interesting was what Ty Lue said after the game about Kyle Korver and the matchup. Listen to what he said.
Well, initially he's been putting Olajuwon in, so that's been kind of Kyle's matchup when he comes in the game. But he didn't play him tonight, so, you know, kind of, you know, threw us for a loop, but we got Bron out with 2.5 minutes, and I started the fourth. He wasn't ready to go, so, you know, same thing happened game, I think, one or two. I can't remember.
First of all, I think it's Ojale.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's all right. T-Lou is my dude, so I'm going to let it,
you're right.
I let it slide, but I had to mention it. Yeah, I think he made a mistake. Look, I think look, when you're coaching a game, there are a lot of moving parts. You're busy trying to put out a lot of fires. You're trying to, you know, you're trying to diagnose what's going on the court, and sometimes you get, you know, you get caught up in that, and you might forget about your rotations. I would argue that that's why you have four assistants sitting next to you, someone to say, "Hey, listen, bro, yeah, we gotta get Kyle in the game." But look, as good as Kyle is, you know, Kyle's not a great defender. He's been better in this series. He's not been great. He's the one guy that's been making some shots. So I am with everyone else in that Kyle should have been rolled out earlier in that game to see if he's been on. I don't think he shot that great in Boston. I don't know what the numbers say, but I don't think he's been on fire in Boston over the course of a series. What was he? The series, 7.7 points per game, 33% from the three. That's pedestrian. You know what I mean? Like, that's not like, it's not like Kyle Korver's been setting the world on fire in Boston. But yeah, I think Ty Lue made a mistake with that. If he could go back and do it again, he'd probably get him in there a little earlier and see if it created some space.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, so we're going to pick this game and our picks and props later. We're going to make you guys some money. But we need to get to the NHL a little bit because the Stanley Cup Final, it is set. We got the Washington Capitals play Vegas Golden Knights. I think it's a pretty intriguing matchup. And this, like, we have made fun of ourselves. We do not watch a lot of hockey. I will probably tune in to the final because it is It is a championship on the line. You do have Ovechkin playing. You do have the storyline behind the Vegas Knights as an expansion franchise. I think it's pretty intriguing. I think it'll actually be a pretty entertaining series. Will you watch? Well, let's do this. How many minutes of the Stanley Cup final will you watch?
Over under 60 and a half. So that means more than one total game.
Oh, under.
Under for Rasha. Yeah.
I said it too high.
You talking about over the course of the whole series?
Yeah, the whole series.
Under, bro. Under.
I'm still going to go under.
Under. Yeah, not a
I'm still just so upset about that.
Yeah, Hannah, game. You totally
20.
Bailed.
20 is a good number.
20 is a good number.
I'm sorry. Yeah. We're having two different conversations here. But yes, no, I'm still really sad about the Lightning. Honestly, though, put it on my tab of like all the things that I've said that we're wrong.
We will.
Yeah, we need to revisit your record and fix a prop. Yes. You have the basement.
I'm conflicted here because although the Vegas Knights are clearly like my team, I've been riding with them since their inception. I've got conflict because I typically cheer for an Alex Ovechkin type of player who, you know, has had playoff demons. Teams haven't figured out how to get it done, but. You know, he comes out the other night, and what did he score? The quickest goal in, like, it was like a minute
62
and
seconds
62 in. Seconds. It was phenomenal. Like, I cheer for a dude like that who...
Will you watch 62 seconds?
I'll watch 62 seconds. Okay. You got
there
me for 62. But so I'm conflicted as to whether I keep, you know, going for this, like, Cinderella story out there in Vegas or if I pull for the Caps. So maybe you might get me. You might get me on the over for 20.
I think it's a fascinating story because of the expansion franchise aspect of it. You know, because it's you've never seen this in sports, a team have this much success right away. And the NHL has actually taken a little bit of heat from it, saying they gave them an unfair advantage by letting them draft guys that were unprotected, you know, by letting them do that. So I think that's the storyline I love. Like, I think it's great. Like, why wouldn't you want to have an expansion franchise succeed?
Dude, I love expansion. Like, that should be, like, their slogan. Like, they expansionize that. No, but Danny, like, could you – I mean, all of these leagues talk about parity, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, what are you going to do? Like, if you want parity, you want us to bring in a new expansionize and then not give us an opportunity to compete right away? Like, what do we have to pay? Like, is it a 5 years worth of dues that we have to pay before we're able to be a viable, like, NHL team? I love the fact that all of these leagues talk about – parity and the NHL can bring in a new expansionize and there's a damn and there's parity. But you understand what I'm saying? They can compete right away. I think that's awesome.
I mean, yep, me too. You know, one thing you can check out with these NHL players, their teeth, because most of them don't have them. You know what they could use though? They could use a Quip toothbrush. You know why? Because this is changing the industry. So the truth is, most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not for long enough, and we forget to change our brush on time. That's because most brands, they'll focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip. So what makes Quip so different, you might ask? For starters, Quip is an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes while still packing just the right amount of vibrations to help clean your teeth. It's got a built-in timer, so this is pretty cool. Quip has a built-in timer so you clean for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. This is going to be great for my kids because they always go through too fast. I try to do the ABCs. They never get it long enough. So now they have their built-in timer they can actually use with it. And you know what else they have that's awesome? Because my kid's toothbrush always falls on the floor. It actually comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth. I love it. And finally, everybody loves Quip. They were on Oprah's greatest, like Oprah's O-list. Hannah buys everything on Oprah's O-list. So they were actually named Time's Best Invention too, and is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. You've got to get a Quip. So how do you get it, you might ask? You go to Quip.com, getquip.com. They start at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/bench right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/bench, spelled getquip.com/bench. All right, go get your Quip, all right? All right, so let's keep it rolling. We're going to do a little take it or leave it. All right, you ready, Raja?
Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it.
So close.
Kyle Korver is currently a more valuable NBA player than Carmelo Anthony.
I have
now
so
you
much
might
to
ask,
say about
why
this.
Did we come up with this? So, Debo, there was an IG meme account that says so, right?
Did you see this,
Carmelo saw this and had to comment
on it.
Did
you see this on WorldStar?
No, was it on WorldStar? Was it?
You guys, I even saw this. I mean, not on WorldStar, but this was all over Instagram.
What? So,
yeah, Carmelo just comments, I had to comment on this one, and then FOH, which means...
Yeah,
it was somebody said that in the 2003 draft. Danny, do you have the exact quote?
I do not have the quote from the meme, but I have Carmelo's quote because he said FOH.
He's so dumb.
So he said that they said in the 2003 draft that Corey Korver was more valuable than...
No, it's basically at this stage of their career.
This year.
Yeah,
Yeah, well, I mean, look, in today's NBA, the way they're playing, Kyle Korver has some value. There's not even a debate to me of who's a better basketball player. Like, Carmelo Anthony is still a much better basketball player than Kyle Korver. But if you're asking me, like, you know, situationally to plug into a team that's already built and they need somebody to space the floor, Carmelo's still not – he's not a viable number one scorer anymore. So you can make the argument that for the Cavs, Kyle Korver is a better fit or more valuable than Carmelo, but he's not a better player than Carmelo.
Yeah,
so if the Cavs have the opportunity, though, Raja, and they could say, all right, we're going to take Kyle Korver or we're going to take Carmelo Anthony, you think they would still stick with Korver?
No, I think actually they'd probably take Melo at this point because they don't have any other playmakers. So the Cavs probably was a bad team to bring up. But like,
so you're with Carmelo, so FOH.
FOH, yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Serious question. How embarrassing is it for his soul to comment on this like no-name Instagram account that says some dumb thing? And he comments from his verified account. He said three things. The first thing he said was wow in all caps. And then he said like had to comment. And then he said FOH.
Yeah, that's...
Hopefully that's not Melo. Like hopefully has somebody running his social media that did that. Because if that is him, it's a super bad look.
It's tough. Look, getting old... It is tough. It is. It's a hard thing, especially in pro sports. Like when your ego, you are trained to be like, I'm the baddest man on the planet. And when you stop being that guy and everybody else knows it and you don't, that's tough. It's sad. But not that Melo.
I love Melo. I used to work at the Melo Center at Syracuse.
Yeah, word. No, I love Melo too. I say, but like, you're just not the same guy right now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. All right. How about this one? Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it.
The voters got the all NBA teams right. All right, so you ready? Your first team all NBA team, Damian Lillard, James Harden, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis. So your second teamers, the guys who got left off, Russell Westbrook, DeMar DeRozan, Giannis, the Greek Freak, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Joel Embiid. You have any beef with those?
I don't have any beef. I mean,
Steph Curry, third team.
Steph Curry, he missed a lot of games this year, didn't he?
Like 24 games.
Yeah, he missed 24 games. Yeah, he missed like almost a third of the season. I don't really have a beef. All of those guys are so good. Like, if you give me James Harden, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis, like, Dame Lillard would be the one, but he's been snubbed so often, and he does it year in and year out with the productivity. Like, I don't have a problem with it. I'm all right. I would have liked – I mean, Giannis could have been up there for me on the first team easily. Russell Westbrook, too, but I'm not going to – like, we're picking – What do you call it? We're splitting hairs at that point. I'm okay.
You know what's crazy? So last year, Russell Westbrook gets MVP because he averaged a triple-double. That's all we talked about all year long, how amazing it was. That's why he got the MVP. He did it again. Like, that's crazy. He did it again and didn't even make first-team All-NBA. But I'm with you. Like, I don't get too worked up over these lists. Like, you know, some people get fired up. Like, how could you leave this guy off? I'm not one that gets too fired up about it. All right, next up.
Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it. Jarvis Landry is a top 10 receiver in the NFL. Take it or leave it. So he actually came out and he said he's the best. I quote, I consider myself the most complete receiver in the NFL. He's the fifth highest paid in terms of dollars per year. I did not, like at first I was like, this is just a receiver being a receiver. He's just talking trash. He wants, you know, he's out there yapping. But did you guys realize that Jarvis Landry had more catches in his first four seasons than any other player in NFL history? Like, I did not realize that because he's been playing on a crappy team with a crappy quarterback. So I actually, I mean, he's not Antonio Brown. He's not Julio Jones. He's not AJ Green. Like, he's not Odell Beckham Jr. But I think he's legit top 10 receiver in the NFL without question.
Yeah, I'm taking that. And I didn't realize the stat either.
I'm leaving his comment. I'm leaving his best receiver. But I'm taking him as a top 10 for
sure. I'm with you on that. And I'm leaving the fact that I don't think that he's the top player the top receiver, but I'm taking the fact that he feels that way. Like,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
That's what I was going to say. They need
that. Yeah, I'm all the way with that. And I'm even more with that with the dude like Landry who goes out there and works to back it up. Like, you're not just going to say, I'm the best receiver in the game and then just rely on God. Like, he is a grinder. He goes out there and he wears a chip on his shoulder and he works his tail off and he just defies all odds. So the belief that you are the best, I take. I don't believe that you truly are the best, but definitely top 10.
And the Browns need that attitude right now. Now that they got Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield, like they've got some swag now.
They got a little swag for sure.
Yeah, they do. I think he's well. I was gonna say I think he has a breakout year, but there's I think the Browns are gonna be good, but there's a chance he's playing with either a rookie quarterback or with Tyrod Taylor. But I think he could have a pretty good year, and I think people will start looking at him differently
because
he has played with some bad quarterbacks.
You need that AI sound right there, the Danny. What it like? Debo said playoffs. Playoffs.
Yeah. Right. Jim Mora.
Jim Mora.
Jim Mora, yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. Let's do some picks and props.
It was practice, I know, but we could dub in like play
later. Yeah, exactly. You can make a playoff.
Yes. All right.
I got you. Before we get into picks and props, we mentioned in topics the other day if Hannah and I played Danny and Raja in beer pong, like what the outcome would be. So I put it up to the people. I put it up to the benchwarmers on Twitter. 67%. The former athletes.
we have educated.
That's some bullshit.
33%.
Educated listeners is
what
we have.
Yeah, but we younger. Are fresh out of practice with that.
This is true. So you've got more recent practice?
This morning.
Yeah, guys. What?
And we can take it to the flip cup table, too. We'll go flip cup.
Flip cup, I'm better at. Actually, you know what? Beer pong, it's like a hit or miss. Like some days I just crush it and I can't stop. Other days I'm like, I need to leave the party because it's so embarrassing.
We'll set a spread. Really depends. One and a half cups. All right, picks and props here. Again, we're doing this daily now because of the recent sports gambling news in the country. The standings, 2-0. Danny's 1-1. Raj's 0-1. Hannah, 0-2. She's rolling with the lightning, but no lightning in this one. So we got Cavaliers and Celtics, game 6. Tonight, Cavaliers 6.5-point favorites right now at home against Boston.
Ooh, gonna take the Celtics with the points. Is that how I would say that?
So you think they will?
I think that the Celtics will cover. I think the Cavs will win. I don't think it'll be
between
a blowout.
A 1 and a 6-point game.
Yeah, I think I feel like I'm wrong with that though. I'll take the Cavs to cover. Sorry.
I'm gonna go. Actually, I don't have to. I'm going to take the Celtics with the 7, but I think the Celtics close it out.
Do you really?
I think LeBron looked gassed. I think the Cavs could be in trouble. The Celtics, I know they've been atrocious on the road, and I know they just got blown out the last game, but I just feel like the Celtics are going to win.
They're going to figure that out before too long, for sure.
You can get
exactly
plus 250 value on the Celtics money line tonight, which isn't bad, Danny. I was thinking about
that, too. No, that's exceptional money line. Hannah? I actually took a bet. There was a... Going before last night's game, you could get the Rockets and the Celtics in a parlay to win the series, each series. So you'd have the higher seed and home court advantage. You'd have those teams. You get them at plus 600 if you took them as a parlay. Ooh. So I actually took that. So now I'm rooting for the Rockets and I'm rooting for the Celtics. But they both have to win in order for it to hit. But I kind of like that one because you got like how rare is it that you can find those types of odds with home teams playing his dog, so I actually like that one.
I got the Celtics tonight. Hannah?
I'm going with whatever you're going to go with, because if you look at your record compared to mine, it looks like I need to be the multi more often.
There you go.
Mirror image.
So seriously, whatever you're going with tonight, I'm in.
But we're going to do a soccer pick right now. Uh-oh. UEFA Champions League final. We're a couple weeks away from the World Cup. Raja said it's his favorite time of the year.
Yeah.
The UEFA Champions League final is tomorrow. Real Madrid and Liverpool. Real Madrid slightly favored.
I'm going to watch that. I'm going to take Real Madrid.
You're going to watch?
Yeah, I'm going to watch. Well, I'm going to TiVo it because I got a basketball tournament, but I'll TiVo that.
I'm going to go Real Madrid, too.
Do you have TiVo?
Not TiVo. I mean, you DVR it.
Like,
it's just the term, right?
Like, I'm going to that.
I know, but you know when somebody says, I'm going to TiVo that, like...
You're 40 plus.
Thanks,
no, Hannah. I would say 30
plus. Is TiVo still in business? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
No
remember
idea.
I used to have, like, the like a... Like a bubble sound? Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I used to love that sound.
Same.
It was great.
It was so satisfying.
Sadly, I don't think they're around anymore. They might be, but why would you need them anymore? Because every box you buy that comes with it.
I'm looking it up.
We all rolling with Madrid, Hannah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's Ronaldo, right? Or is that Messi?
Yes. No, Ronaldo.
All right, that's what I thought.
But Salah on the
knowledge.
Other side. All right, the props now. What number is higher, keeping on the soccer trend? Not Ronaldo, but Ronaldinho.
Ronaldinho.
So his future wives or three-pointers Hassan Whiteside shoots next season. So the description behind this one, Ronaldinho set to marry two different women during the same ceremony in August.
What?
Bro. Yeah,
legit.
It's one of those things.
Two ladies lined up for one marriage,
I hear
one wedding.
Bro.
And the Hassan Whiteside thing the other day, post a video in the gym, him shooting.
I hate everyone involved in this.
There's a difference between you can't shoot and you're not allowed. He has attempted 0 3-pointers in his NBA career. Does he get the green light just a little bit next season?
He's such a freaking whiner. I need him to like just shut up. Shut up. Stop.
Yeah, Hassan, play your position, and your position is not out there shooting threes. Like I'm gonna go.
He's trying to be the next Joel Embiid, right? He wants to be a 7-footer. He can step out and shoot some threes.
Yeah, but like not even the
it's
same
not his
skill
game.
Set. Yeah.
So how about with hold on? We're burying the lead here with Ronaldinho going with two wives and one wedding.
I don't understand.
How does this work?
So it's apparently not legal in Brazil, but they don't check up on
it
too much.
They don't enforce it?
Yeah, it's not very enforced. His sister said she won't be attending. She's disgusted by the act. But yeah, two in the same ceremony. They're currently all living together.
Goodness gracious.
That is nuts. So my wife, for real, she'd kill me if I ever said that. But at times, like when she gets really overwhelmed with three kids and cleaning up and running them all over the place, she's been like, you know, some of these people that have multiple wives kind of have it down right because she's like, I could use a helper. She's like, if you ever wanted an extra set of hands. But she made it very clear. She's like, that would just be for the help. Like, you would just get the other wife would be like the worker bee.
Right. Yeah.
Would
like,
she
help
get
with
you
the
enjoy
dishes.
All the luxuries.
That's fantastic.
I was like, well, hold on a second. Maybe we can make something work out.
There was the
it's nuts, though.
The story in the NBA a couple years ago. Lou Williams, super six man.
Yeah.
Two girlfriends at once. Unfortunately, broke up with one of them. And I think he's...
Oh, really?
Single relationship right now.
Yeah, I
heard
that.
Your boy for the pitcher, the old pitcher. What the heck's his name? Bartolo Colon. He's got like a whole separate family. Like I think he has two families going on right now.
Big Sexy just turned 45 yesterday.
Yeah, Big Sexy, yeah.
All right, Lou Williams, former teammate. This one for Game 6. James Harden obviously has missed his past 23 pointers. So over under 3.5, 3-point misses for Harden before he makes another one. What's it gonna take to get him going in that game 6 in Oracle?
Under. He's going to can the first one.
First one?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same. I think he's going to get better. I think he's going to come out. And did you hear the stuff about him, how much he's shooting?
He needs
like,
to stop. He needs to stop
gyms?
That. He needs to stop that. That's
really? So yeah. You think he's putting too much into it?
Yep.
Like I think it's in his
head to a degree now. Like sometimes shooting, I don't know what the equivalent in football would be, but sometimes you just got to let it go. Like the more you obsess about it, the more, like, there'd be times where I'd obsess about my stroke. It would feel good. It just wouldn't go in, right? Like, and so I'd go to the gym and I'd be shooting and I'd shoot. I'd make hundreds of them in a gym and then I'd go back to the games and it wouldn't go in and I'd do it all over again the next day to the point where I was just in my own head with the shot. Like, if I just stopped shooting and stopped worrying about it and relaxed, it could go in. So I believe him to be in that spot now. Just let it go, bro. You, I don't know. You're a 40-some percent 3-point shooter. You led the NBA in threes. What do you think? You just forgot how to shoot all of a sudden? Just F it. Go out there and shoot the ball.
Right. And you know what else he could use? I mean, you got to remember, this has been a long season. They've been a physical series. Like, get some rest. Like, he's out there going to University of San Francisco, finding gyms, shooting all night, I guess. But you got to get some rest,
you know,
at some point. I think that would help him, like, to take a night off.
This isn't this part of the show for this, but I watched him last night. And I need to go to, like, Synergy and watch some film. Maybe me and you can sit down and watch him. He struggles going to that right hand. Like, I know he's predominantly
so obvious too.
I know he's a lefty. Like that's no newsflash to anyone. But I mean, when they shade him to that right hand, he's really bad. I don't know why more teams don't do that
every single time. Or does he have enough handles where he can just get you off and he can get you out of position?
Well, I imagine he's so good at creating just a little bit of space that his counter is to just double step back into a three. But I mean, I would always err on the side of pushing him right.
Yep. All right.
5-star Q&A.
Yeah, I teased it off the top of the show as the best 5-star Q&A ever. So, Hannah, we have to deliver for the people.
All right, first one, A-Joe-Bio. He says, what is your cocktail/drink of choice? A few different ones based on place/event are obviously welcome.
All right, so give us three events, and then we give you three cocktails. So,
all right,
like three,
wedding.
Wedding.
A wedding, all right.
I drink the same stuff at all these things. Sports bar.
Yep. And then we need a third.
And a vacation.
Ooh, okay.
There we go. All right.
All right, go.
So for a wedding, I'm going to take like scotch or bourbon, whichever you have that I like more. And
just on the rocks?
Neat. just straight up. Ooh. Yeah. For a sports bar, I'm going to do, I don't know, like I'd probably go with a, like a Pacifico or something like that. Like I maybe a Heineken, like just all a beer, right. Your basic beer. And then on vacation, depending on if I'm going to get tropical place or not, like, you know yeah. what I mean? I like a fruity drink. I'll go with like really? I'll go with like a piña colada, but I can't drink a lot because I get bloated.
So good.
They're like your belly will be like all big
that's
and
true.
Like.
That's true.
But then I just go rum and coke probably. So I start piña colada and then I keep it like at an island flair and go rum and coke.
All right.
I got after. How about after a win and after a loss?
After a win versus a loss. After a win in the NBA, we always drank beer. We just had beer in the locker room or like you know, me and Steve Nash would have it on the bus. Like we just get beer after a loss. If it was a bad loss and I struggled, it'd definitely be like straight scotch or bourbon.
That's so funny. All right, Danny, like your three events.
All right. So me for a wedding, I'm going probably some sort of like a Tito's and tonic, like just something, you know, something nice.
Yep.
If I'm on vacation, I'm with Raja and it's almost like the spin the wheel, like whatever comes up. Like, cause if you're by the pool, maybe a pina colada, maybe a margarita. I might even try something like a mojito. So it's kind of like whatever goes, like whatever
mojito.
Tastes good. I'll go with that. But I am with you,
Raja. Ordering
like,
a mojito, it cracks me up.
What? What's wrong with mojito? What's wrong with a mojito?
The name of it, I have a problem with. I've never liked ordering a mojito for the
And then
name.
What was our other one? So after a game win, that would be Red Bull vodka because you know it's going to be a long night.
Ooh.
Like you're going out. It's going to be a fun one. I needed something because I'm an early to bed guy. And especially if I'm drinking, it makes me go to bed even earlier. So I would have to do Red Bull vodka to keep it up all night.
Wait,
Deba,
what's your drink?
How old I am. What's that?
Fruity.
What I wanted to know what Debo's drink was. Fruity?
Yeah.
Like what?
All
like
the time?
What's like your date? Like go-to date
fruity?
Drink?
I'm not embarrassed. I just say, what's the fruitiest thing on your menu?
And you really say that?
Yeah.
There you go.
And then I don't have a second
sick?
Date.
And then I don't have a second date.
Okay, my go-to drink always is whiskey ginger.
Maybe a little froze.
And then if I'm feeling fancy somewhere, I get like a wine. But I don't know anything about wine, so I just normally do whiskey ginger.
Yeah.
So that's a great call. Whiskey ginger, like Crown and ginger, like all the ginger ale drinks I used to like a lot. Then somebody told me like the clear alcohols make you they don't hurt as bad the next day, so I kind of gave up on that drink. But those taste really good.
Vodka used to like really hurt my heart. Like after a while, I was really struggling.
You,
and I had to switch it up.
Are we wine with dinner? Like I'm.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, yeah, that's a good
I like white wine.
Ice dinner, wine.
White.
Wait,
I'm a red. I'm a cab. I like a heavy cab.
Ooh, I need to get better at that. Wait,
when are we
I
going
have a
to
question.
Visit Boris.
We bore Boo Boo. What he's in Bordeaux right now. I imagine. Like what time is it there? Yeah, we need to get that up.
Wait, I know this is off topic. What's like the go-to shot that you guys order? If you order a shot.
I hate shots.
I always think about this because I never know what to order.
I'll probably just do a tequila shot and I hate doing them.
I can't do that. I'm allergic.
And this is kind of corny, but I would say a lemon drop.
No, like those are good. There's this thing
I'm so judging. I'm judging both you and Debo right now.
There's a thing called a green tea shot. I suggest everyone order it. No, seriously, a green tea shot. I don't even know what's in it. I had to Google it once for a bartender. But anyways.
I've gotten into Hennessy shots.
Okay, a little
there
Henrock.
We go.
There you
I
go.
They're dangerous.
I just do whiskey.
So Debo just went from fruity drinks to
like,
Hennessy
like,
shots.
To like hardcore. Yeah. Like.
All right. On to the next question, guys. Big Red Trella. He says, Danny, Raja, I need some dating advice. My friends tell me I am too nice to girls. I get friend zoned so often. I'm not Brad Pitt, but I can hold my own. Coach me up. What do I need to do to change my style and be more successful? Let me see a picture. You said I'm not Brad Pitt.
Danny,
all right,
bro.
This is pretty easy right here because I'm a pretty nice guy. I think I found myself in his position, but you got to learn to play the game. Like you can't be Mr. Nice Guy all the time. You have to have some mystery. You can't. You get. And if it, have you young guys seen the movie? What's the movie with Vince Vaughn and? From
Swingers.
Vegas, where they go Vegas, baby. What's
Swingers.
The name of that?
Swingers.
Swingers. I can't believe I forgot the name of that. So remember when he's talking about the 5 days you got to wait? You know, is it 2 days? Yeah. Is it 3 days? Is it 4 days? Like how long do you have to wait to call him? You do. You can't be too anxious. Like you have to make her wonder what's going on, where your mind is. Because if you go and show all your cards on the table right away, you're going to get burned every single time.
Yeah, that's a tough one because if you have no real advice being like a little less nice, you could go overboard and just be a straight like a-hole about it.
You don't want to be that. There's a fine line.
There is definitely a fine line. I am, look, I, Here's what I would say to you, Big Red Trella. Be yourself, bro. Like, be you, dude. Like,
oh, that's the best advice.
Real talk.
Oh, that's friend zone advice.
No, do you. And if look, you ain't going to force a girl. If you ain't meant to be with her, you're going to be in the friend zone anyway. So it's not really going to matter what you do. And if she wants you in the friend zone, like, you don't want to find that out 5 years into a marriage that she wishes you would have been in the friend zone from the beginning. Do you know what I mean? So do what you do, but have a backbone. Like, you don't need to be a pushover. Like, stand up for yourself. You know, if there's something that's not going to fly for you, you got to let them know that. And if they don't respect that, they weren't supposed to be there in the first place.
Kind of react.
I was just going to say, it's great advice, both you guys, but I like really nice guys. So I don't know. Just keep doing you, because I feel like the nice guys don't get enough credit, but really, like, I don't talk to enough nice guys. So when I do, I'm just like, oh my God, this guy's so nice. Yeah.
No, it's good to be nice. Like, I'm all about, like, the gentleman aspect, like, open the door for, like, be nice.
Right.
But you've got to play the game. Like, you got to make them, you got to keep them on their toes. You got to make them wonder.
That's I hear you.
That's true.
Keep them guessing.
I don't know what question to go to next.
No, go. Roll them off.
All right. W.C. Woods 1. He said, Danny, what will Florida be able to do under Dan Mullen?
Next.
Will Tannehill be a top 10 or 15 quarterback next year, or should we get Will Greer?
Florida's going to be 8-4 under Dan Mullen. And I don't know what the Tannehill with Will Greer one, the question is all about. I do not think Tannehill will be a top 10 to 15 quarterback. I think this is his breakout year. I unfortunately have not seen it. I think he's a quarterback who is a athlete playing quarterback instead of a natural quarterback. So I think he could be in trouble. And I don't think they should go get Will Greer. Next.
All right. Adopted by God. He says, if you were a free agent after the draft, would you join a team with a better chance to win it all? Or would you be a bigger piece to the puzzle?
This is not, there's no acceptable answer other than you find the spot where you can play, bro. Like, you're not chasing championships. If you're on the championship team and you weren't drafted, you're going to be the dude who sits in a suit every single game. You go somewhere where you can prove that you belong in the league and they made a mistake on you in the first place. Bad team, middle of the pack team, it doesn't matter. Whoever wants you and is going to give you an opportunity to play, you go there and you let everybody in the league, whatever league it is, know that they made a mistake in the first place.
All right. Mark, he says, you're stranded on a desert island. You get 3 recorded videos of 3 games, any sport, that you can watch forever. Name them.
Oh, that's tough. Go, Danny, by all means.
So any 3 sports games you could watch forever?
So if you could TiVo it, any 3 ones, which ones would you TiVo?
So some of the epic performances that you could ever watch, I would probably throw in maybe like the Jordan flu game when he knocked down that game winner against Utah. I would have like a little variety. I would have that. I might have like, I'm trying to think of like, maybe the Patriots Falcons comeback, like the 28-3 Super Bowl, like that game was epic.
Want to watch into that. Brady.
But then it loses a lot of its intrigue. Like, you can't watch the first, you know, whatever, that one. And then maybe I'd throw in like an epic boxing match, like one of the best boxing matches ever. Like some, just something different.
That's tough. I would.
But
go.
I'll tell you what, with the way sports work, I'd rather pick movies. Like, it's, you know, the outcome. Like,
yeah, but that's not the
it
question.
It wouldn't be as entertaining. I know.
I'm going to go that 90. You played in one of the games. Was it the 95 Orange Bowl game? You and like Florida State, Miami, where Tamarack Vanover ran the opening kickback?
That game was sucked.
Nah, that game was, for me, that game was like that was my favorite game of all time. Maybe the game sucked. I don't even remember.
That was 5-right too.
Yeah, I don't even remember the game, everything that happened in it. Like, just, it was euphoria in terms of,
that was 92.
Yeah. Was it 92?
Yeah, my freshman year.
Oh, that's right. I said 95. I graduated. You're old as hell, bro.
Shut up.
We are old as hell, bro. I'm going to go with one of those Boston Laker games. I don't know what, you know, it was Dennis Johnson with the steal, I guess. And then like whatever game that was way back in the day, that was a good game.
82, I want to say.
Was it? And then my last game would be like, I don't know. It's a tough question.
I know, it's such a hard question.
Very hard question. I'd probably go something in the NFL, but I don't know which one.
You know what I might do is like the Malice at the Palace game, like just to see something entertaining. Yeah. Like when they start fighting with the fans.
20 minutes like of non-game action. I got 3 copies of Super Bowl 52 just in case one,
oh my God.
In case one wears out.
That's right. We all left out that one. We know Debo would just do that one.
The only one I could think of is that 6 overtime game for Syracuse and Connecticut from 2009.
Ooh, that's a game.
And then maybe that Auburn-Alabama
game. Was that Jerry McNamara in them? Was he in that game?
No, that was Kemba.
Kemba, all right.
All right, last question. They call me Hazuda. He says, go on Instagram and type in at middle class fancy. I don't have my phone. Now tell me who is more middle class fancy, Danny or Raja. What does this mean?
This one required homework. Like, I never saw middle class fancy.
It's a bunch of like dad memes, pretty much.
Ew, it's like dad bod stuff, right? Like, oh, I would suggest
just like
the
corny
hashtags
jokes
are
and...
Okay, so now tell me who is more middle class fancy, Danny or Raja. And then there's a
part
two.
Oh, it's me by far. I would say if it's a dad bod, it's just stupid corny jokes.
I did a little
like,
bit of research.
Especially.
I did a little bit of research. It's definitely Danny.
It's
yeah,
definitely.
No, I would say it's Danny.
I don't know, but
part two says, I feel like Hannah's go-to guy fits the middle class fancy description as well. Embrace
what?
Debate.
Agreed.
No, this isn't good. No, it's not true. That's not true. I don't.
Hannah's down at South Beach all weekend partying with all these cool dudes. That's your go-to guy.
Yeah. I mean, not all the time, but yeah. Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Not middle-class fancy.
No. I got to check out this scene. I got to see how insulting this is that I just admitted I'm middle-class fancy.
Middle-class fancy.
I don't know.
Fancy.
This Instagram account has a pretty big following, and I, to be honest, I don't really know why.
Nice. All right. Hey, I was right, though. These were good questions today, right?
They were good Q&A.
I liked it. All right. So keep bringing them. Every Friday, we do our 5-star Q&A. Go to iTunes, subscribe, download, leave us a 5-star review in the review section. Ask us a question. Ask us anything. We go off the rails all the time like we did today. Make sure you go do that. As always, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And remember, Monday, we're going to have a bonus episode, best of 5-star Q&A. So make sure you check that out. Everyone have a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy it.
Yep.